Stress is often a part of our daily lives between work, finances, kids, and more. Most of us will feel stressed from time to time. But new evidence finds that women experience more stress on average compared to men.
According to research, women typically take on more domestic and emotional labor, which compounds other causes of stress like work.
Kristen Wong is a freelance writer and journalist. She recently wrote the New York Times piece, "There's a Stress Gap Between Men and Women. Here's Why It's Important." Kristen, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, a lot of women out there might feel individually, I'm stressed. I feel like I'm having more stress maybe than the men around me. Research out there, there are studies out there that suggest it's not just them. It's a thing.
It is a thing. I think it's a thing for all of us. Men and women, we all kind of feel stressed. But studies are showing that women report feeling, you know, they're twice as likely to suffer from severe stress and anxiety as men. The American Psychological Association reports there's a gender gap every year that women are consistently reporting higher stress levels. And a psychologist that I talked to said it's not really news to her because I guess she sees this in her practice a lot. And also it's a pretty well-documented thing that women are reporting more stress than men.
We'll dig into the why. We'll spend a lot of time on that. But let's talk about the consequences. This is not just you feel a little bad today and tomorrow and you get over it. There are potentially long-term health hazards here, right?
Yeah. I mean, there are definitely physical things that you want to watch out for, like heart disease, things like that. When women are at risk of heart disease, they're more likely to experience disturbed sleep, anxiety, and unusual fatigue before like a heart attack. And so these are kind of symptoms that I think people in general, but women especially, chalk up as just, oh, well, I always feel stressed. I always feel like this. So then it kind of goes unnoticed, and you don't really take it very seriously when it could lead to something very serious.
Now let's get into the why. What is it about women's lives in these United States that makes them, on average, more stressful than men?
Well, there's a lot. There are a handful of different things that could be causing it. And so in the article that I wrote, we kind of explore what some of these causes could possibly be. One of them is that women, are still doing a lot more unpaid domestic work. So they're doing a lot of housework, and that's often overlooked as actual work, even though it is laborious. As any paid job, I mean, that's like a thing that you pay people to do. Women are still doing three times as much unpaid domestic work as men, according to reports from the United Nations. So this is something that's still happening. So there's certainly things like that that perhaps are causing it. But there's also this idea of emotional labor. And emotional labor is kind of just like the emotions and feelings that you process with any given job. And it seems like a lot of that emotional labor falls on women more often than it falls on men. So there was a study that came out in 2016, I think, that looked at emotional labor in the workplace in terms of gender. So they noticed that women are much more likely to engage in a form of emotional labor. This is according to the study, a form of emotional labor called surface acting. And this is basically just faking it. Like if you're really upset and you're going to put a smile on anyway and pretend like you're not upset. Women are much more likely to do that than men, and they found that that also causes stress. So it could be that this concept of emotional labor, happens to women more. They're more likely to take on that labor, and that labor then causes stress.
And in the home, I think of, I'll maybe overshare here. In my family, I thought, we divvy up the chores. I've been married to a woman for a long time, divvy up the chores pretty well. I was kind of blind to something that I've started calling logistical labor. Like, are the kids signed up for school? Did we make their annual physical appointment? That kind of stuff fell to my wife. And if I noticed it, I thought, well, she's better at that stuff anyway. I think that's probably super common that we're just blind to that kind of thing. And then you're carrying that planning, if you're the woman in this case, in your head. And that's a source of stress, right?
Absolutely. That is sort of just labor, right? Like having to keep track of everyone's schedules and make sure everyone's doing well. The stress that then comes with that and the anxiety that then comes with that and the push to kind of keep a happy face on, even though you're under all the stress, I think then that would be emotional labor. But I do think, women are kind of socialized to be that person, to be the person who is the peacekeeper, to be the accommodator, to be the caretaker. And that can be a source of labor on its own. So there are other, you know, when you are socialized to be that person that's expected of you, then that just manifests itself in so many other ways that then become little tasks that you have to keep up with. So that could be something that's contributing to this stress gap.
Talking to writer and author Kristen Wong, talking about her New York Times piece headlined, "There's a Stress Gap Between Men and Women. Here's Why It's Important." The gist: women feeling, carrying more stress. And this might not be taken seriously by society as a whole, or even the women, I would imagine, Kristen, because maybe each of these individual little instances, it looks like a little thing. But you put 43 of those together, all of a sudden it's a big thing.
Yeah, I think also, you know, to your point, a lot of it goes unnoticed. It's so expected that you don't really think of it as work, so you don't really question it, you know, until somebody kind of writes an article and they talk about all these. And the reason this concept of emotional labor got popularized was there's a writer, Jess Zimmerman, who had written about this in 2015, and her, you know, the phrase had kind of already been around, but she really got women talking about this. And so it spurred this Metafilter thread where hundreds of women were chiming in and saying, like, oh, yeah, you know what? Now that you mention it, I have to do X, Y, and Z. And I didn't even consider that labor. So, yeah, I think a lot of it just goes unnoticed.
And I'll say, I didn't look at the comments to your article, Kristen, but are you seeing a similar response either, you know, on the New York Times website or from people you know? Are a lot of people saying, hey, yeah, this is going on with me?
Yeah, you know, every time I talk to a friend about it, and I kind of, you know, I'll talk to them about this concept, something kind of clicks over, and they're like, oh, yeah, you're right. I didn't think that this, I just thought this was something kind of expected of me, but this does require extra work on my part. And yeah, I think a lot of women can relate to it. And I also think, like, there is some skepticism around it, I think. Like, men get stressed out, too, which I think is worth pointing out, because we're talking about, like, gender-based stress in this situation. But it's not to say that men are also not very stressed out. Men and women, we are all very stressed out, as I said. It's just that there's this different kind of stress that I think is worth exploring that's sort of either caused by your gender expectations or at least fueled by them, if that makes sense.
So you also write about what women can do about this. You start with this idea, this phrase that's out there a lot, of self-care. What's a good way to tackle self-care when it comes to this, as you say, gender-driven bonus stress?
I like that phrase. I think self-care is a really misunderstood concept. People tend to think of self-care as indulgent, as a luxury thing. Self-care is just exactly what it sounds like, taking care of yourself, making sure you get an adequate amount of sleep, because, you know, I think there was a study that came out recently that found that, like, getting five or six hours of sleep every night is like the equivalent of trying to do something while you're buzzed. And this is dangerous. It's dangerous to our everyday lives. It's dangerous to our work. So self-care is getting enough sleep, eating right, making sure you're healthy, making sure your mental health is being maintained. And that's a really big part of it, because I think it's easy for women to kind of take on all these extra tasks without that, you know, aren't really acknowledged and do them and think that they're supposed to do them. And then self-care is usually the first thing that goes by the wayside. Like, I'll just not get an extra hour of sleep that night. I'll just sleep 5 hours instead of, you know, 6 or 7 hours. So that's a really important thing that you want to maintain. I think it also helps to seek validation. Like, I think that's why that Metafilter thread got so popular, because these women were getting validation from other women. And sometimes, again, it feels like it's just not something that you're supposed to think about or worry about or try to fix. It's just sort of a norm that's been an expectation that you are used to living with. But if you can talk to other women or just talk to your partner, your spouse, about how you're feeling and get that validation of, like, no, yeah, you're right. This is extremely stressful and what you're feeling is not crazy, and we're going through it too. I think that really helps to have that kind of accountability.
We're talking to Kristen Wong. She recently wrote the New York Times piece, "There's a Stress Gap Between Men and Women. Here's Why It's Important: Women Reporting More Stress Than Men." She's with us to talk about the causes of that stress and what to do about it.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What do you think about this stress gap between men and women? If you're a woman, have you noticed this in your life? What steps do you take to alleviate stress? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or tweet us at Central Time WPR.
We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time.
Right now, we continue our conversation about stress and how a number of factors can increase the stress levels of women compared to that of men. Our guest is Kristen Wong. She's a freelance journalist who recently wrote about the issue for the New York Times.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts or your questions for Kristen. And if you're a woman, do you see this in your own life? Do you feel this extra stress based on the expectations on you as a woman in a relationship, at work, you name it? You find you take on more of the domestic stuff, the emotional labor compared to your spouse or your male coworkers? What would you like to see change? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or tweet us at Central Time WPR. To your calls now. Mary is with us in Wauwatosa. Mary, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What do you want to tell us about, Mary?
Well, my kids are grown, and I'm in my early 60s, and I think this emotional work situation is huge. And years ago, my friends and I realized that we, as women with kids, always had a tape in our head that was like a ticker tape moving constantly, and it was all things that had to be done, you know, make the doctor appointments for the kids, make the dental appointments, stop in and see the teacher, drop off this, drop off that, and just constant all the time. And we all kind of looked at our husbands and realized they didn't have that. You know, they didn't have, I'm sorry, but they were really clueless about all of the things that had to be done in raising children. And I don't see that that's unfortunately changed at all with the generation of kids that I raised who are now having children. It still is the woman who's doing all of that stuff that I think is present, but not, you know, it doesn't scream, oh, I'm going to work and I've got to do this. It's just this constant activity that's got to be taken care of.
Mary, thanks for that call. That constant tape in their head. Kristen, this matches with a lot of the stories you heard.
Yeah, it really does. You know, and I talk about this personal experience in that article, but I kind of went on a strike with that stuff because I noticed that too with my husband. I was like, I have so much on my to-do list that's not work-related, and I have a full-time job just like he does, so why do I have this extra stuff? And so I remember I was like, I'm going on a strike. I'm not doing these extra things anymore. And he was like, oh, that's fine. I'll do them. And of course, you know, there was one instance where we were invited to a party, and we were both on the email list, and I was like, typically I would be the one to put this on his calendar, put it on my calendar, remind him about it, but I was like, I'm going on a strike. I'm not doing that work. And so he's like, that's fine, I'll take care of it. Of course, we show up to the party 2 hours late, and the host kind of made a comment that, like, just to let you know, we expected you much earlier, but she made the comment to me, you know, because I was the one expected to take care of all of this. And I can only imagine that that's because I'm the wife, and that's the role that's expected of me. I'm the one who's supposed to get us all together and make sure this happens. And it's very easy to become resentful of that, you know? I mean, I am perhaps lucky. I have a husband who is receptive to these things. And so having a conversation with him is good. It's productive, and he understands this. But there are still some things that even I don't notice because, like Mary said, they've kind of been happening for years, and you get used to them. And, you know, in some cases, I think it's very helpful to talk to a couples therapist. And it's helpful for any couple, but I think looking for a couples therapist who kind of specializes in maybe these gender expectations can kind of help, I guess, mediate that.
Mary, thanks a lot for calling in and sharing your story. We'll go next to Laura in New Berlin. Laura, hi.
Hi.
What do you want to tell us about, Laura?
I think this study is just fantastic that in this article that you've written, because it's something that I encounter in my daily life at my job as well as in my personal life. My husband and I have non-traditional gender roles because he is a stay-at-home parent and has been for almost 9 years, and I'm a full-time working parent, but yet I still feel like there are a lot of things that rest on my shoulders. And additionally, in my job, I work as a mental health therapist, and I work with a lot of women, and I preach self-care, but yet I still have a hard time finding the time for myself, too.
Mm-hmm. Laura, thanks for sharing your story. So, yeah, even with that non-traditional division of labor, Kristen, she's feeling that.
Yeah, and I also think it's again, because I think of those gender norms, you know, I've heard a lot of women say that when they do have those non-traditional roles, like men aren't really expected to be the caretakers. So when they do the work of a caretaker, they're praised for it more than a woman would be. It's just kind of expected. Whereas with men, it's like it's noticed more. So then people acknowledge the work. It's interesting that, yeah, you still feel that way, even if, because I guess at the end of the day, you still have to, I don't know, you still have these norms imposed on you.
Thanks for that call, Laura. We're talking to Kristen Wong about her piece in the New York Times on a stress gap between men and women. Back to your calls. Jen is with us in Stoughton. Jen, hi.
Hello.
What did you want to bring up, Jen?
Well, my husband wasn't raised to take care of appointments or anything like that, but he is trying. I'll give him that. Bless his heart, he tries. But I'm a working mom. I have a toddler. My husband can't remember anything, so I'm making all the appointments, making sure we all get to the appointments, coordinating meals, making sure he doesn't lose his keys constantly. I mean, I'm just picked up my kid from daycare, and I'm standing in the Walmart parking lot talking to you guys because I got to go pick up dinner and snow pans. And
Jen, thanks a lot. Good luck getting that all together. I want to start with where she started, Kristen. Her husband wasn't raised to keep track of appointments. I mean, is this something that is going to take, I don't know, how many generations to fix, and maybe raising boys and girls with a different set of common expectations?
Gosh, I don't know. I would think that, yeah, it's something that will change over time, I would hope. But then I go back to Mary's call, who says that, you know, this is something she's been dealing with and she sees her kids dealing with. So I think it's just, I think it's also, there's more attention on it, and that's great. I hope that women keep thinking about it and keep taking it seriously. I think it's important to keep that in mind when you're searching for a partner, when you're working on your marriage, to find somebody who is receptive to this and who understands. Like, you could hear the exhaustion in Jen's voice just then, you know, to have somebody who understands where that's coming from and is open to listening to you about it. Because it's also, it's the ironic part is having to prove that emotional labor is a thing, or prove that, you know, whatever you want to call it, this extra labor that women have to do, this gender-based, I don't remember the amazing phrase that you used. But the
gender-based bonus stress, I think it was, yeah.
Gender-based bonus stress. Having to prove that that's a thing makes it self-fulfilling in a way, you know?
So in our last couple minutes, I mean, some of the solutions, the self-care kind of stuff sounds great, the validation you were talking about, in some ways those are symptom relief. Is there a way for workplaces, couples, to try to equalize that stuff in a non-angry sort of way between parties involved?
Yeah, you know, in the workplace, I think there's sort of a larger conversation here about what workplaces can do to kind of structure their environment in a way that acknowledges it a little bit more. But I think that some workplaces do a good job of this with something called affinity groups. So they will have, you know, for people who might feel marginalized in the workplace or just out of place, or like they're the minority in the workplace, often that is women, they have groups that you can kind of join and have that validation and feel like you're not
you know, the only one dealing with this. In a relationship, you know, that can be a lot trickier. I think finding a really good couples therapist, if your spouse, if your partner is not open to the conversation, having a third party to come kind of sit in on it and explain, look at things objectively and explain what's going on can be super helpful.
We'll leave it there for now. Kristen, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
We've been talking to Kristen Wong. She's a writer and journalist. She joined us to talk about a stress gap between men and women and why women, according to a lot of research, carry the most significant stress burdens and how they can push back on that and deal with it. She recently wrote a piece headlined, "There's a Stress Gap Between Men and Women. Here's Why It's Important." That appeared in the New York Times, and we have a link to the article. You can find it over at WPR.org.
Coming up tomorrow on Central Time, plans for a new electrical transmission line in southwestern Wisconsin are getting some pushback from conservation groups. We'll get two perspectives on the proposal.
On this week's edition of Food Friday, I'm looking forward to this. Vinegar can play a bigger role in cooking than just a tasty salad dressing. Learn more about the power of sour. I gotta say, I'll probably say it again tomorrow, 70% of the time when I'm cooking, when I think, this needs something. I don't know what. It needs something. It's vinegar. It's almost always vinegar. Yeah.
And when you were little, what did you want to be when you grew up? And did you try it out or are you in that profession now? We want to hear from you about your childhood career dreams. Rob, what did you want to be?
I'll have to think back about that. I don't remember. I do remember on a tape recorder trying to record a fake radio show.
I wanted to be a veterinarian.
All right. And
like,
here you are.
Like lots of kids.
That's all tomorrow on Central Time.